The Nick Handley Show.
That might have been the worst radio in the history of Omaha radio.
AM 590, ESPN Omaha.
All right, final hour here on the Nick Handley Show. I am producer TJ Henning. Nick is headed on his way to Waco, Texas to get ready for the Nebraska-Baylor baseball series that starts tomorrow. We'll have that for you tomorrow after the Nick Handley Show at 6 o'clock. But today we're out of the Nebraska Greats Foundation Celebrity Night Sports Event. That's going on tonight at 6 o'clock. Earlier today, one of the main speakers who's going to be at there, former Husker quarterback Turner Gill. We were able to catch up with him earlier today around 3 o'clock. Here's that conversation from earlier today.
And speaking of Turner Gill, he will be one of the featured speakers on stage tonight. We are very happy to be joined on the AM 590 hotline with the former quarterback and coach himself. Turner Gill is joining us. And first of all, Turner, I mean, welcome back to Nebraska. I know this has got to be a fun night. And I heard that you, Irving Fryer, and Mike Rozier have not been together in the state of Nebraska to kind of reminisce, but have you guys had a chance to talk over the years at all?
Oh, well, we've been able to talk on the phone there periodically, but I would say all three of us together, that had not occurred. So, I mean, whether it's phone calls or in person or whatever. But we've stayed in contact briefly throughout all these times. It's been a long, long, long time, that's for sure. So we're excited. I got a chance to spend a little time with each other today, this morning, a little bit, this afternoon. And so it's just great. And we appreciate the foundation there, the Nebraska Greats Foundation, putting us opportunity to get us all together.
Now, I know you guys probably are saving the better stories for tonight, right? I mean, you guys didn't waste all the stories reminiscing. I mean, all the big ammo is going to be tonight, right?
Well, I'm sure there'll be some very good stories. No question about that. So, real excited just to be amongst the great Nebraska fans and just enjoy our time together as really friends and fellowship with each other.
Well, I got to ask you, too, I mean, kind of taking a different role. You've been a coach for so long. Just tell us about what you're doing these days and how life has been for you.
Well, obviously, a year ago, as some may have heard, that I had decided to retire from coaching at Liberty mm-hmm. University there in 2018 was my last season coaching, and in 2019 I was able to spend in May I started at Arkansas as the executive director of student athletes and staff development, really having life skills with the student athletes, and then also being able to help out with the coaching staff and through my experiences and trying to help them deal with different things that are going on in their lives, both on the football field and off the football field. With Chad Morris, the former coach there at the University of Arkansas, and been able to enjoy that experience there. So as of right now, actually the contract is going to be coming to an end here shortly to be at Arkansas. So I'm starting to kind of see what God has in store for me next as we move into our next journey, my wife, Gail, and I.
You know, I don't want to put you on the spot, but, I mean, just kind of being out of coaching here for a year or so, is that something that you do kind of miss? And, I mean, have you kind of made peace with, you know, not being involved at that level?
Well, I'm at peace. I'm at peace with the scenario as far as coaching on the football field. God has a great plan for us. And being going to spend more time with my family, with my wife, and our two daughters there, have been in a somewhat closer area to where they're located. And we're trying to work those things out at this point in time. And my wife is doing better with her health. It's doing okay. And so I just enjoying the time. I don't have any regrets as far as stepping away from coaching. And as I say today, I'm still planning on to stay out of coaching. I still maybe want to be around it, but we'll just see how things go in the future. God has great plans for me to continue to help young people and all people through the life of sports and also through everyday life, and with God willing, we'll continue to do that.
We're talking to one of the best to ever put on the Nebraska uniform, Turner Gill, joining us. He's going to be here for the Celebrity Sports Night, and I know a lot of the conversation tonight, and when Jim Rose is facilitating everything with you guys, a lot of the conversations will be about just how prolific of an offense that you guys were a part of. But when you do kind of think back to this trio, I mean, what kind of things, and even maybe some of the stories sort of come to mind when you do think about, you know, how really special this trio was?
Thrilling, excitement. Just was an exciting and fun time to go to practice every day because there was a lot of fun, joking around, seriousness, but there was just a variety of things that went on even within us players and even with our coaching staff. And again, as we all know, it's always nothing like winning and having fun with people all across the world, all across the country coming together. And obviously the fans were just tremendous, and to be able to play in front of them. And again, it was just great to play with so much talent, and it was just a lot of fun. Those are the things that come to my mind right away, is just the thrill and fun, excitement, and ready to go to work every day as far as they're playing a game of football in front of the best fans in the world.
When you guys were really running a lot of the option-based offense too, you're going to have to remind me at that time, I mean, was that still kind of considered to be a pretty new thing, and there was only a few teams that really kind of mastered it the way you guys did?
Well, I think there's other teams running the option, but I think the biggest thing that made it different and unique, we did it out of the I formation. People were still doing a little bit of what they call the two-back, or we call the Houston Deer. People were doing that, or they were running the wishbone. So yep. People were running the option game, but nobody was running out of the I formation. That was maybe unique with Tom Osborne and his offense was being able to do that. I also want to mention that really Tom had the RPOs going on while we were playing. We didn't have a whole lot of plays, but we had two or three plays that gave you that run pass option. For example, a lot of people they were familiar when I had the reverse pivot turnaround, kind of a spin around type of a play that we ran, and the first option was to run the football and with the double option of whether I would keep it or I would pitch it to Rozier. And then we added the run, the pass option off of it was Urban was running a slant pattern, or he would run a hitch, or he would run a takeoff, or he would run what we call a slant go. Some people use the term slant, sluggo. So I would read the safety, and it's no different than some people now run the run pass option. They read the linebackers. We read the safeties, and if the safety came up, I would throw the slant behind him. It's no different than now they run the tight end or slot position where if the backer steps up, they throw the quick little pop pass to him. So Tom Osborne was doing the run-pass option back in those days. That's what we call it. We didn't go to the PO, but it's what it was called. It's a run-pass option. So I want to add that in there that really this stuff here, talking about run-pass option stuff, was happening way back in the 80s.
Turner, I know you probably get a chance to pay a little bit of attention to what's going on in Lincoln and with Scott Frost now entering his third year and really trying to get things going again. I'm not sure if you get a chance to have a lot of conversations with him, but just your overall feel for the program now and where you think it's headed.
Well, I think he's the right guy for the job. There's no question about that. And I'm excited to see the things here that are going to happen here in the future. And I think there are some great players that they have. Again, I don't know all the details and can't get all the names and all that. But just
sure.
Read a few things here and there just because in my last year and a half, I'm a little bit able to this last year to do a few more things than I did 30 years ago. The last 30 years that I had to run my own football team. So I'm excited for him, excited for the fans here in Nebraska, and hope to see things get more in a bowl games periodically here as we go to the next season and obviously have an opportunity to be championships in the Big Ten Conference.
You had a chance to not only play it at such a high level in Nebraska, but also coach some really good ones. You know, between all of the very prominent quarterbacks that you had the chance to be around, whether it was Tommy, whether it was Scott Crouch, I mean, the list goes on. Is there one that you would say, boy, as far as competitiveness, if the game was on the line, boy, this was a guy that was tough to beat. And it's probably tough when you start thinking about all these great quarterbacks that you were around. But was there one that you said, boy, give him the football because things are going to happen?
If I had, I really would. My whole honesty is every one of them were tremendously competitive that I coached being there from 1992 until 2004 or so. And they all have their uniqueness competitive. That's why they were so much of winners. If you had someone that had a little bit over the edge per se, was probably Tommy. And practice wise, was very intense in practice, very intense in scrimmages, very intense in games, obviously, to himself and to his own teammates. And so he was driven to get the best out of himself, but he's also driven to get the best out of his players. Scott Frost was very, 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 very competitive. Eric Cross was competitive. Eric Cross was more of a quiet guy. Scott was a little bit of quiet, but he also could speak out. It was Colin was a lot more vocal than maybe all the other guys that I had. Jamal Lord, I mean, he was really a really good football player and all those things, the quarterback position. So, again, it was unique. It was tremendous. And obviously, Coach Osborne did a fantastic job, along also with Coach Solis, too, during those time periods with Eric Cloud.
Turner Gill, again, one of the great Husker quarterbacks in program history. He's going to be here at the Nebraska Greats Foundation. A second annual Celebrity Sports Night with Irving Fryer and Mike Rozier. Turner, really appreciate you spending some time with us today. We look forward to seeing you out here.
Well, thank you for having me on, and to God be the glory. And everybody have a blessed day, and appreciate the support for the Nebraska Greats Foundation.
Thanks so much, Turner.
Bye-bye.
You know, TJ, one of the things, the reason I ask Turner Gill about, you know, if you made peace with kind of being away as a coach, we've heard it. I feel like we've gotten a few calls before, too, because we remember really that emotional exit that he had at Liberty where he decided to step away to spend more time with his wife. She was going through a couple of health challenges, and it's great to hear that she's in a better place right now. She's doing better in that right now, which is awesome to hear.
Yep.
We've had people chime in and say, hey, you know, is Turner Gill ever going to maybe have some kind of involvement with the Nebraska coaching staff in the near future? And it doesn't sound like it would ever necessarily be as a coordinator, but I mean, you did hear him say that he, you know, still doesn't mind being around, you know, the game and the coaches. And it was kind of an interesting job that he had at Arkansas.
Yeah.
As the director of student athlete and staff development. And I always feel like, you know, you hear these stories that come out of Ohio State just recently. I mean, Nebraska was faced with this with a couple of players too, and just some of the behavior that we've seen in collegiate sports that, you know, puts some of these teams and puts, you know, a handful of people, you know, the majority of the roster, kind of in bad light because of the actions of a few. I just feel like the more people like Turner Gill that you have involved with making that transition from whatever situation you came from, you know, or whatever level you came from, you need people like Turner Gill, in my opinion, people that do understand that they can take that student and they can pull them aside and they can really try to drive home that message, because we know coaches always try to do that. They always try to be a father figure to a lot of their players, but they also have so much other focus on game planning, recruiting. There's so many things going on. I just think of those types of positions like a director of student athlete and staff development. And I'm not trying to say, hey, Nebraska, this is what you need to do. You need to get Scott Frost on board, because I believe Ron Brown has a similar role as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ron Brown's kind of filling that role right now, but I wouldn't see any problem with bringing back Turner Gill as well, having Turner Gill, Ron Brown around Scott Frost, and then Turner Gill's a family friend of ours, so I would be all for having him around again.
Well, and I think a lot of people sort of say, hey, well, I like to have Turner Gill around to help out from a competitive standpoint, you know, the product on the field. I'd like to see Turner Gill more in football involved in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And I just think the way that he is able to interact with young people, especially ones that are a little bit more immature, that have not really seen, you know, the big picture and have not had a chance to see and understand maybe the consequences of their actions, whether they're small or big, you need people like Turner Gill, because I think he does it as good as anybody. That's the one thing. And I'm not saying – I mean, he's a good coach. He is a tremendous football mind.
Yeah.
But I think one of his greatest strengths is just his ability to be able to motivate and to be able to communicate with young athletes.
Oh, for sure. And you brought it up earlier. But, yeah, if you would just go back on YouTube and watch his day where he announces his retirement and just telling his players that, you know, he's not going to be there anymore. He broke down. And just, it's a guy who cares about his players, and he's just a tremendous guy of high character and high faith, and somebody I look up to for sure.
Yeah, it's all genuine. It's exactly what you hear. It's exactly how he feels. And yeah, I feel like collegiate athletics needs more people like him. And so it'll be great to hear him speak tonight, though. Again, he, Mike Rozier, and Irving Fryer together in person for the first time since their playing days in Nebraska. That's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, again, that was Turner Gill from earlier today at 3 o'clock when we first spoke with him. Coming up after the break, we talked with another former Husker quarterback earlier this week. That was Eric Crouch on Tuesday. We'll replay that interview next. All right, we just heard from one great Husker quarterback. We're going to hear from another. Earlier this week on Tuesday, we were able to catch up with former Heisman winner Eric Crouch. Again, as the Nebraska Greats Celebrity Sports Night event is going on tonight at 6 o'clock. We were out there earlier today for the Nick Hanley Show. Here's a conversation with Eric Crouch.
All right, let's go to the AM 590 hotline and welcome in the man himself, Eric Crouch. Eric, how are you, my man?
I'm doing great, Nick. How are you?
Good, and we're getting ready for Thursday night. And, you know, we talked a lot about the Nebraska Greats Foundation over the last couple of years and just the work that it continues to do, but getting the awareness out there to all former Nebraska college athletes, all 15 four-year universities or colleges, of just kind of letting them know that assistance is available. You know, just what kind of progress has been made in just trying to get that message out?
A substantial amount. You know, you've got to credit the people that are part of this, credit the state of Nebraska. People are buying in. I think it's incredible. They want to hear more. They're very supportive. Last year at our celebrity event, which is on Thursday this week, we had about 700 people show up, and it was our first one. So I think so many of us were surprised with that number and the support that we got. And we took that energy, and it just catapulted into this year, and it's taken everybody. I mean, every one of the board of directors, every one of the people that have been recipients in the past or currently we're working with, to just spread the word. A lot of these former athletes just don't know that this foundation exists and that there's actually help out there for them, which I think is it's incredible.
Well, and Eric, we were talking to Willie Miller last week, and even last year talked to a couple of former athletes from Nebraska Wesleyan, from UNL, and even from, you know, places like Peru State, where, you know, you think about being an athlete and you compete at the highest level and you were able to accomplish so much. We know that there is always a pride factor. You're a competitor by nature, and you always feel like, you know what, you always have the answer to something, because that's just sort of how people are driven. Do you feel like, you know, when it does come to, you know, former athletes needing any kind of assistance, that there is a little bit of that pride factor that kind of keeps them away from that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've run into it quite a bit. I think it's funny, you know, if you hear Murtaugh just talk about it, you just put your pride aside. You just got to do it. You know, you just throw it in the trash. Because there's a place that can really help you, and all you have to do is apply. It's a simple grant process, and the foundation is here for them, for us, any former athlete here in Nebraska, you know, man, male or female. I just think that it's a matter of us spreading the word and getting this out there, and really building our relationships with the colleges so that they can, because they're the ones that have the connections with their athletes and their alumni. I think it's just so important that we have great relationships with all these schools. And so, you know, really, that's what we're trying to do. I would say there are some schools that need some work still. Mm-hmm. It takes time, and it takes hard work, and it's not easy. And, you know, I take my hat off to Sandy and Jim for everything that they've done for this foundation, because it is hard work. I take my hat off to the board members, and it's going places. And I think that's so cool to see it. You know, it just on social media, it blows up. It gets more and more likes and more views, and the videos and the testimonials and the things that that you're seeing, the content that's out there about this foundation and who it's helped. Sometimes it helps to just see that it's real. Like, who have you helped?
Yeah.
I mean, I encourage you guys to get online and just see NebraskaGreatsFoundation.org and just read the stories of the athletes that have been helped. It's very touching.
Eric, you grew up in the state of Nebraska. You had a chance to see the offense in so many different ways, so many different people who operated it. And what's going to be really cool about Thursday night is we're going to see three guys that were involved in that scoring explosion.
Oh, yeah.
And one of your former position coaches, too, and Turner Gill, you know, not only him, but Mike Rozier, and also seeing Irving Fryer, and having these guys back together for the first time, you know, in the state of Nebraska. This is going to be pretty special. And I'm sure, you know, whether it's, you know, people that are our age, like you and I, or people older than us, or even some of the younger generation. I mean, this is a great opportunity to hear some pretty awesome stories.
It really is. I'm excited to see it. You know, I mean, I love those three guys. You know, they've got different personalities. They're all such explosive athletes. And the stories, I mean, anytime you get Mike Rozier up on the stage, I think you're good for a good laugh,
right?
Because Mike is Mike, and it's just funny to see it. And, you know, but I think that's the piece that gets people is the authenticity. You know, Turner Gill has had a great career coaching, and to hear some of those stories and just really want to hear stories about when those guys were at Nebraska. I want to hear some stories that just nobody knows, you know. I hope they just open up and have fun, enjoy the night, because we really appreciate those guys coming and supporting this foundation. They're a big draw. They're a huge draw, and I know a lot of people are excited to see them.
You know, Eric, when you think of kind of your days in Nebraska too, and just kind of working under Turner Gill and obviously Tom Osborne, big part of a lot of the things that you had a chance to experience. But you know, when you just kind of think of Turner Gill, you know, we think of him as the player on Thursday night. We're going to be hearing those stories on Thursday night. But him as the coach and the leader, you know, what are the biggest takeaways that you hold with you from Turner?
Well, I think of Turner, I think of his compassion for people. You know, he was a guy that he always made sure that I was prepared and that he would shoot me straight. And I appreciated that about him. And he's very competitive and he wanted to be the best, but he did it in a way that, you know, it wasn't demeaning. You know, he wasn't pointing down, you know, your face and screaming and yelling at you. Yeah. And I appreciated that. You know, I took well to that type of coaching. And so, you know, he's just a great man all over. And I've appreciated his friendship, even after I've left the program and moved on in my life. And he's been a great mentor for me. And, I've enjoyed continuing my relationship with him, and can't wait to see him again on Thursday.
Talking to Eric Crouch, All-American Heisman Trophy winner. Eric, before we let you go, of course, got to get some football questions in on, you know, what's going on right now, too.
I thought we were talking football.
Oh, I mean, you know, with the overall team right now, too. But, hey, we know that this third year, for a lot of reasons, is still going to have its challenges. And kind of compared to a year ago, where people like myself and even the national media are looking at this team, looking for that significant year two jump based on how the first year ended under Scott Frost, it just seems like they're going to have that opportunity to sort of fly under the radar. And just given your experience, do you think that can be a good thing for this team?
Oh, absolutely. I think this team needs to, and the program needs to stabilize. And I think we're in that transition of really getting the right culture built. I know we hear that word so much.
Yeah.
Probably overused, but it's so true. And everybody's got to buy in. And the new players that are coming here, they've got to be willing to work harder than they've ever worked. I just remember how hard practices were. You know, the games actually were easy. I mean, practices were so, so difficult. And you were just beat. I mean, you were beat physically, you're beat mentally, and then you had to come out and do it again and again. And so I just think the amount of work that it's going to take to get Nebraska back to the elite status that it once was, it's not going to be easy. And I think that I believe in this staff. I believe in Scott Frost. I believe in the coaches that are there. Assistance. I believe in the strength and conditioning. I believe in nutritionists. I think we got the right people. I just think that it's going to take, I just hope that the players understand that it's going to be a lot of hard work, and really they're in a great place because people love them. The fans will support them. It's a great place to go to school and play football, and they're just going to have to enjoy this and not let fans, not let social media, or whatever it may be, get underneath their skin about anything. They got to stay focused. And the focus is just improving, in my opinion, getting better every day with the people around you and the coaches that are in the room. And I think good things are on the horizon. I really, really do. I believe in this this whole situation. I want to see it do well.
And lastly, I just your thoughts on Adrian Martinez. You know, he just had such a tremendous debut as a true freshman. Takes a bit of a step back. I mean, banged up really all year, too. Defenses knew exactly what they wanted to take away. Just given what you've seen from the young man, both physically and mentally, do you feel, you know, pretty confident that he can take this last year and maybe make that as maybe the most important year in his development and come out even stronger next year?
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind he can do that. I think that it's going to help to get some, you know, players around him mm-hmm. That they work in unison together and that they're on the same page and that he's got more depth. I think at times I felt like that Nebraska just didn't have the depth that it once had. And I think that really hurts a quarterback that has a lot of abilities and puts a lot of pressure on him. And I believe that he's got all the right traits. You know, when Coach Osborne said at first he could be the best to ever play at Nebraska, you know, and I quite agree with that. And I think that's possible. But he's going to have to work hard. And he's going to have to, you know, make some good decisions. You know, I remember Turner always telling me that, you know, if you're going to be great, a quarterback's got a number one, he's got to make great decisions. So I just hope that in his third year that he's feeling comfortable and confident in reading defenses and going out there and just executing with his team, putting the ball in the right places, getting in and out of the huddle, creating great tempo for the game. And I'd like to see them smiling a little bit more, having some fun.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was gone this year. Like the fun, the football is supposed to be like this dynamic, exciting, fun sport. And I just didn't see that those guys were having a lot of fun. So I hope that they can get that energy back and play at a high level for all of us to watch.
Eric Kratch again, Heisman Trophy winner, All-American. He'll be around Thursday again. This is going to be a fun event, the second annual Celebrity Sports Night put on by First State Bank, Millard Roofing. It is at the La Vista Conference Center. The headline act will be the scoring explosion of Turner Gill, Mike Rozier, and Irving Fryer. Again, for more information, including trying to get those last-moment tickets, anygreats.org. And also, you can find out how you can help the Nebraska Greats Foundation. Eric, always love talking to you, my man. Look forward to seeing you on Thursday.
Likewise. Thanks, guys.
All right, that was the interview with Eric Kratch. Coming up next, we're going to continue the Nebraska Greats interviews. A Celebrity Sports Night event for them is going on at 6 o'clock tonight. That event is sold out, though, already. Coming up next, we're going to hear from former Husker football player Willie Miller, how the Nebraska Greats Foundation has had an impact on his life. The Nick Hanley Show here. I'm producer TJ Henning. Nick is on his way to Waco, Texas. Get ready for the Nebraska-Baylor baseball series going on tomorrow. He will be back at 2 o'clock for the Nick Hanley Show. And then, of course, the baseball game at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Up next, last week we were able to catch up with former Husker football player Willie Miller. You know about his inspiring story and how the Nebraska Greats Foundation has helped him out in his time of need. Here you go.
Willie, first of all, thank you so much for coming on. How have things been for you?
Oh, thanks for having me. Things have been great ever since the foundation has kind of stepped in and helped me to get the help that I needed. Things have really turned around in my life.
You know, the story for you has been that of a comeback story, but as we talk about, you know, either current Nebraska athletes, former Nebraska athletes, sometimes we're talking about comebacks on the field, and sometimes we're talking about even the life portion of a comeback, and you've experienced that. Just what can you kind of tell us about your story and you know, what kind of led to maybe a little bit of a sidetrack, and then what kind of brought you back?
Well, to kind of keep it brief, because, you know, it's a long story.
Right.
But to keep it brief, you know, it just when I got done playing, you know, needed that back surgery right away. And then so I prescribed pain pills when I walked off the field. And then, you know, just through the course of almost a decade of being on those, it just everything went downhill, spiraled downhill, you know, made a poor decision. And spent the last 10 years being on a whole bunch of medications because, bottom line, I thought I was kind of crazy with the pain pills I was on. I ballooned up to 420 pounds.
Wow.
And, you know, that's just where I was. I was stuck in a complete rut, depressed, you know, basically not even wanting to be here anymore. I mean, I had no hope or anything. And then about 2.5 years ago was when the foundation stepped in. They got me the back surgery that I needed. Because of them, I was able to get off the pain pills that I was on. I was also able to acknowledge and figure out the fact that, you know, after being on pain pills for 20 years, there was an addiction issue to those. So, you know, the great thing about that was I was able to reach out on my own, because the foundation doesn't do this second part. The second part is me reaching out on my own, because they took care of me physically.
Yeah.
So the mental part, I reached out. Bob Newton helped me to go get treatment for that. Great thing there was I found out, hey, bottom line, I wasn't crazy. Mm-hmm. I'd taken off all the meds they thought I needed for that. And again, just dealt with the pain pill issue and stuff. So, you know, due to them doing that and getting me back on course, I mean, a year ago, I got back in school because I've been talking to Creighton, and they have a 12-month accelerated nursing program. They let me know the specific classes that I need to take, and I've knocked out almost all those classes. So, you know, by the end of this summer, beginning of August, I'll be done with those and hopefully walking in the doors of Creighton for their 12-month accelerated nursing program.
Awesome to hear that. And I know, what was it, as of this last October, that was a celebration of a year of sobriety. And just, you mentioned kind of even the weight that you got to, now more of what people remember you as too, a little bit more, even less than your playing weight at Nebraska. Just, you know, physically, but more importantly, sounds like mentally things have really got back on track for you.
Yes, you know, definitely. You know, I'm actually a little lighter, about 20 pounds, 30 pounds lighter than I was in my playing days. You know, my senior year, I was about 265. So, yeah, right now, you know, about 235. Just feel great. And like you said, the great part about it is they helped me physically. It allowed me to go get the mental help that I needed. And now, you know, I'm just blessed because of them that I'm healthy both physically and mentally, you know, and able to go after this dream that I have with, you know, being a nurse so that I can help people that were, you know, that are stuck in the position that I was in, you know, because again, I want to specialize in psychiatry and mental health, and I also want to focus in on substance abuse. So, you know, again, bottom line, you know, I received help, and I want to just be able to pay that forward and help others.
You know, when you think about the Nebraska Greats Foundation, and you mentioned they helped you physically, but the one thing that this seems to sort of resonate with, I think, a lot of people who either are supportive of Nebraska athletics or just Nebraska residents, is we have sort of this narrative around the state that we take care of our own. We, you know, we care about one another. And, you know, when you see that, not just helping UNL athletes, but helping all of the four-year colleges and universities in the state of Nebraska, knowing that they are going to raise money so they can help their own. Is that just kind of symbolic to what we expect here in the state of Nebraska? And you know, you're from Bellevue West too, so you've lived a good part of your life here in the state of Nebraska.
Yes, I really have. You know, I grew up in the state ever since I was in the first grade, and I do have a lot of pride from, you know, growing up in this state. You know, I did pharmaceutical sales where I traveled all across the nation. And honestly, there is no place like Nebraska. I mean, people here are courteous, they're kind, they're loving, they're giving, and it just goes across the board. And I think that this foundation is a beautiful example of that. Like you said, it's not just about Lincoln or football players. It's about any athlete at the four-year university, male, female, it doesn't matter. And like you said, it does encompass, I believe, the beliefs of this state that you know, that we are one family.
We're talking to former Husker national champion Willie Miller here on the Nick Hanley Show, AM 590 ESPN Omaha. You know, and kind of using your example too, when you're an athlete, when you feel at some point, regardless of what sport you're playing, and you play it at a high level, there's probably a little bit of that invincibility that maybe you don't need the help from the pains and the aches that are kind of lingering after your playing days are over. And just based on your experience in this, is that something that you've been able to kind of communicate with other former athletes or even current athletes of, hey, you know what, there's some great assistance out there. It's just a matter of taking advantage of it and being able to say, yeah, I can use that help.
You know, I do. You know, there's some guys that I know are struggling, having a rough time. And it's all, you know, due back to an injury that they suffered back during their playing days. And it's impacted them mentally. Well, sorry, let me backtrack. It's impacted them physically for a long time. And that's carrying over to the mental aspect. And, you know, here's the thing about us athletes, and I can only speak about myself, is that, you know, you do have a sense of pride.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, it took, you know, almost 2 decades for me to finally be willing to get that back surgery. And it took me literally one decade of, you know, trying to kind of figure it out. And, you know, it just, I just thankful that I got that phone call from a guy that was letting me know about that foundation, you know, 2.5 years ago, but I was ready, you know, again, spent 10 years wallowing around, you know, being miserable, feeling isolated, alienated, you know, and at the end of the day, hurt people hurt people. So you can sit there and you're going to have grudges, you're going to have resentments, you're going to lash out, you're going to say things you don't even mean, and they get out there and the people hear them, and it comes back to, it's that person, it's me. I'm hurting. There's something I need to deal with. I need to get help, you know. So I think you can, you know, you take a look around and you can see that there's some things going on and some people are, unfortunately, they're suffering. But like you said, ultimately, we have to go ahead and ask for that assistance. But the wonderful thing is the assistance is there, and that's what this foundation is all about.
Willie, what have you learned about yourself just going through everything that you've gone through from, you know, being a standout prep player here locally to winning a national championship to falling on hard times to getting through the other side of it with more clarity and more positivity? Like, what have you just kind of taken away personally from this whole, just whole experience?
You know, personally, what I've taken away from it is that everyone in life will have a moment where they get knocked down. And ultimately, you know, it's our decision to get back up. But if you're just completely knocked down and floored, and somebody comes along and it's just like that play where you may get knocked in your back, your teammate comes along, they extend that hand to get you up, you know, you got to grab a hold of that hand. And then not only do you grab a hold of that hand, you get back in the game. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm so grateful about, and that's what I've learned about myself, is that the Nebraska Great extended that hand. I got up. I felt better physically, but then I went ahead and started running the next play. I addressed the mental part. And then here I am, where I'm going to get back into the game, where get the nursing degree, specialize. Yeah. And every single day I get to run plays by helping people.
Right, and that's the great thing about – your story is, now that you've got to that place, now you're looking to give back. You're looking to not only share your experience, but also help people going forward. And, you know, it's interesting with this foundation, you know, the different types of assistance that exist. It just seems like not only are you seeing people, you know, finally being able to embrace that assistance, but also be able to use it and then be able to, as we always kind of talk about, pay it forward and try to help. And however you're able to get on your feet, and it sounds like that's exactly what you're doing.
And you're right. That is exactly what I'm doing. And, you know, and I think that goes back to our team mentality. When you're an athlete and you're part of a team, you know, you're used to working with other people. You're used to working with your fellows. You're used to wanting to improve your game and help your teammate to improve their game. And I think that's one of the great things about this foundation helping athletes, is that in us, I believe we all have this innate thing inside of us, this drive that we want to be competitive, but we also want to, you know, encourage the ones around us and uplift and make everyone, you know, be able to perform at a, you know, national championship type level.
Lastly, if you could give a message to any former Nebraska University or college athlete that could benefit from the assistance from the Nebraska Greats Foundation, what would that advice be? What would you say to them?
You know, my advice to them would be, before I received the help I received, I thought asking for help was a weakness. Mm-hmm. But now looking back, it takes a lot more strength to ask for help and get the help because of the outcome. Once you get the help you need, then you can go about having a productive life, helping others, help yourself. But when you're sitting there and you're not willing to ask for help, that's when you're having a weakness, because you're not only hurting yourself, you're hurting those around you, and you're hurting the ones that love you and want to see you do well.
Willie Miller, former Husker, former national champion, Bellevue West Thunderbird. The story is fantastic. Willie, really appreciate you sharing that with us today. And again, continued great success in what you're doing and helping by using your story as an example. Really appreciate you. We wish you nothing but the best going forward.
Well, thank you so very much for having me on today. I'm glad that you gave me a chance to, you know, to share the experience that I've had and the strength and the hope that I now have as well, and what I'm able to do, all based because of the Nebraska Greats Foundation giving me a hand, helping me out, and the people that help support the foundation.
Thank you so much, Willie. Have a fantastic week.
Thank you. You as well.
The story, and again, there was a really good write-up, and I'll give our friends credit from Husker 24/7 of, you know, Willie Miller, where he is now. And some of you may not be completely familiar with his story. And as he said, I mean, there's a lot to it. So I do encourage you to check this story out. I think it was back in October of 2019 when Husker 24/7 had this out. But, you know, what he went through, and I mean, you know, from living in the Salvation Army for a while, you know, from going through just, you know, pain pill addiction, alcohol addiction. You know, this was a guy that was a Brooke Beringer Citizenship Award winner at Nebraska, a national champion. I mean, this was not only a player who was highly regarded with what he was doing on the field, but it was also considered to be a great representative ambassador of the Nebraska football team off the field. And like many athletes do, fell on hard times, whether it's physically or, as he said, you know, kind of starts the physical part and then the mental part kicks in. That you look at what the Nebraska Greats Foundation does, and again, hats off to Jerry Murtaugh and everybody involved with this. This is a fantastic assistance foundation to help every Nebraska college athlete, not just UNL, not just UNO or Creighton. Whether you're from Nebraska Wesleyan, we had a chance to talk to someone from Nebraska Wesleyan last year and loved hearing the story. Male athletes, female athletes, if you could use the assistance, the biggest challenge so far, anytime we talk to Jerry Murtaugh or anybody from the Nebraska Greats Foundation, is just getting the word out that this does exist. We just need the athletes to take advantage of that. Really appreciate Willie Miller joining us. We got more coming up.
All right, What's on Tap presented by Cunningham's Pub and Grill. Only two NBA games on tonight as they gear up for NBA All-Star Weekend. We've got Oklahoma City Thunder at the New Orleans Pelicans at 7 o'clock. If you have Fox Sports Kansas City, you've been able to watch the Thunder games on that. And then the one game on TNT tonight, 7 o'clock, the LA Clippers at the Boston Celtics. It was just announced that Jaylen Brown has been announced out for the Boston Celtics. College basketball tonight, 7 o'clock, 21 Iowa at Indiana. That's on the Big Ten Network. 8 o'clock, ESPN, 16th-ranked Colorado, taking on 17th-ranked Oregon, 8 o'clock. ESPN2, 8 o'clock, Washington at USC. And then at 10 o'clock, ESPN2, you've got Arizona State taking on Stanford. Let's look at some hockey here, NHL, a little bit of puck. NBC Sports Network, 6 o'clock, you got Philadelphia at Florida. And then ESPN Plus, 8:30, you've got Washington at Colorado. That game's also on NBC Sports Network. And then on ESPN Plus, you've got St. Louis taking on the Las Vegas Knights. And right now, NCAA Women's Basketball, Big Ten Network, Maryland is leading Iowa 48-23 in that one. A couple other women's games you can check out on the SEC Network, 6 o'clock, Auburn at number 1, South Carolina. And then 25th-ranked Tennessee taking on LSU. All right, that's going to do it for the Nick Hanley Show. I am producer TJ Henning. Nick Hanley will be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And then we'll have the first Husker baseball game of the season. That'll get started around 6 o'clock. We will see you tomorrow.